is, and in the epitome of everything that God has done has always been his love. And that to me is what Jesus embodied. And he was the Word in love, in flesh and in spirit. And I say in flesh because it was an action. You know, we think about love being an emotion and a feeling, but he acted out on everything. God so loved the world that he gave his son. It's like, I'm not just going to say I love you. I'm going to show you by sacrificing my son to redeem you unto me. And everything that I heard everyone talking about, everything points back to Jesus. And everything that God did really was to point everything to his son. He didn't want people worshiping tablets or worshiping rules. He wanted them to understand, you're not going to get any of this until you focus on my son. And love is at the cornerstone of all of that. You know, the Ten Commandments, all the laws and the prophets, everything that God outlined in his word, everything was pointing to Jesus. And in essence, God was just saying, without my son, you won't really get any of this stuff. You won't really understand anything that I've laid out. You won't have any appreciation or understanding of who I am and what I'm about if you don't accept my son and take him into your heart and let him yield really to him. The only way you can really yield to your ways and your will is by yielding to Jesus and letting him really dominate your whole thought process, your actions, your mind. Everything is embodied in that. And so what I want to get into in this message today is how to tie into that wisdom that we were looking at in the Sunday school lesson, and really being mature. What that means, being mature and applying godly wisdom, is really about growth and insight. So it begins with faith, believing and accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and then acting on that. So we start adding to our belief. You know, we start off on that milk, say, okay, I have to believe in something higher, that there's a higher form or a being or something, and you're searching, you're seeking. As children, we're trying to find our way. And it's all about that growth and that maturity that we talked about in the Sunday school lesson. There's immaturity, and then there's a maturity. We're trying to grow in Christ. And everything that we do and say and that we learn in Sunday school and in Bible study is also so important in our growth. And at the end of the day, it's a dependency on God and not self for that growth. You can't even really rely on your own knowledge. You talked about godly wisdom and the worldly wisdom. Anything that you acquire, you have to yield to the Holy Spirit's understanding of the truth. You're not going to get it on your own way of thinking about it. It really goes beyond mind, and it is all spirit when you're trying to discern even God's word. And the pride of man would try to tell you that you can do it under your own power. But the wisdom of God will teach you, I don't know anything. God, I yield to you for my direction, whether I go left or whether I go right. I have to yield to you just to even comprehend anything that you reveal to me through your word. Amen. So the pride of man will always try to think that they know, but the wisdom of God will always teach you and humble you to the point of understanding, you know what? I don't know. I don't know anything, God, but what you show me and what you give me. And that's an understanding that God wants us to always yield to, that understanding that God is supreme and that Jesus is on the throne. And we have to humble ourselves before him. And he's omnipotent. He's sovereign. He's everything. So as I go through, I only got two scripture texts today. And I'm going to open up with a word of prayer. But only two texts I want you to write down. Or really, or three. I will reference three. But we'll be really in one main text. But Just write these down. John 10 and 10, very familiar scripture text. John 10, 10. Look at Jeremiah 29 and 11. And the meat of our of this message today will be 2 Peter, and we'll be in the first chapter, going through some verses in 2 Peter chapter 1. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for this time. Thank you, Father God, for this opportunity to bring a word today. Help us, Father God, to adhere to and heed to your word. Help us, Father God, to not just be hearers, but doers of your word. Help us, Father God, to share your word with those who we come into contact. Help us, Father God, to be obedient and diligent to the call that you have on our lives, individually and collectively as a church body. Help us, Father God, to yield to the Holy Spirit for direction, for discernment, for wisdom. We thank you, Father God, for your Son, Jesus, for showing us the way. For he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. And we turn to him for everything and all things that we need and want in life. Help us just to turn to him for comfort, for direction, for guidance, as an example of how we should love one another and how we should love our neighbor and how we should love our enemies. Help us, Father God, to just walk in that spirit of your Son, Jesus, to walk in that same love in everything that we do and say. And as I bring this message today, none of me and all of you, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For you are my Lord and my Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So, church, I want to bring a word today that talks about that maturity and that wisdom that we saw in the Sunday school lesson and how we need to add to our faith. Add to addition is the principle that God laid out from the foundation and the beginnings of the world. And we know that addition, we want to take it on the mathematical standpoint, is the foundation of math. You know, before subtraction, multiplication, division, fractions, geometry, algebra, trigonometry, calculus, statistics, differential equations, there's addition. Starts with 1 plus 1 equals something, right? So, at the cornerstone of God's plans, even in the creation, we go to Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? And to that, he added day and night. And then he added the sky and the land and the seas. And then the land, God added, God added plants and trees and vegetation. And then God added the seasons. And then God added the sun and the moon and the stars. And then God added the creatures of the sea and the creatures of the air. And then creatures on the land. And then finally God made man and woman and said, increase in number, be fruitful, and multiply. So we serve a God who has always been about adding to and wanting us to have life, but not just have life. He said, have an abundant life. I want to add to your existence. Don't just come and live and exist, but I want to give you an abundant life. I want to add to your life. So if we look at the things that God is trying to add to us in the qualities of those things, I'm going to bring out eight qualities that God wants us to add to. And the opposite of God is, we know, the enemy and Satan. Who, what's his MO? What's his method of operation? He wants to take away, right? So we know in that John 10:10, God wants us to have life and life more abundantly. But it says the enemy wants to come. He's only come but to steal, kill, and destroy, right? So it's God's nature to add to, it's Satan's nature to take from, right? He's always wanting to take away from you. He wants to steal from you. He wants to kill. He wants to destroy. He wants to break down, and God wants to build up, amen? So because our God came to give us life and life more abundantly, in essence, he wants us to thrive and live. And live means to grow, means to flourish. It means to thrive. It means to mature. It means to be to gain wisdom through his word and through his son as an example of how we should be. Amen. So he's about expanding. It's the same way it was in Genesis. He's going to expand, be fruitful and multiply. He's trying to expand and grow this system. But what kind of system? Not earthly kingdoms, but the kingdom of God is what he wants to expand and grow. That's why it's so important for us to, as we have opportunity, to witness to our brothers and sisters, to share with them the truth of the knowledge of God's word, and not try to, as they say over in the old school, beat them over the head with the Bible, but just express the word of God, and then you let the Holy Spirit do its work. I'm not trying to convince anybody of anything. I'm going to share the word and let the Holy Spirit convict you. And let the Holy Spirit give you discernment. Let the Holy Spirit let the light bulb go off in your head. All I'm doing is dropping this word, the seed that God has given, so that the Holy Spirit can do its work. Amen. So having that abundant life that God is saying there in John 10:10, having life and more abundantly. Well, what is life? Life is nothing without God, right? So if we don't have God, we're basically living in vain. Nothing we do or accomplish is going to mean anything. So having an abundant life really means having God in abundance. That's the wisdom that we're trying to chase and go after. It's not just about living, but it's like, how do I get more and more of God in my life? Because that's the only thing that's going to make my life worth anything or count for anything. So abundant life means having God in abundance. God is all in you. He's in your walk. He's in your talk. He's in your speech. He's in your smile. He's in your posture. He's in your demeanor. He's in the way that you carry yourself. He's all in you. And when God is all in you, he will bring you to that expected end that he wants you to have, that abundant life. Amen. God wants you to have an abundant life, church. God wants you to prosper, even as your soul prospers. Your soul prospers by getting more and more God in you. And the more you get it in you, the more God can direct your life and give you the joy and the peace and the happiness that we so thirst and crave after. Amen? And the wonderful thing about God is everything that he gives, it's not just for you to grow and become mature and have all this wisdom and walk around, but everything that he gives to you, you give out to your brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. So everything that we have in abundance is just so you can give it away to someone else and share it with others. Amen. So how the Satan acts, Satan, the way you will know when Satan's mindset is always about me, myself, and I. What can I acquire? What can I gain? But with God and the things that you acquire through God, it's all about, God, you gave me so much love, I can't do nothing but give that love away. I'm not trying to keep it for myself. Oh, God, you gave me all this prosperity and this wealth. I don't want to do nothing but give it away and help people when they're in need. Amen? So that's the wonderful thing about God's, we talked about that in the sense of godly wisdom and worldly wisdom. The world system is all about self, and God's wisdom is all about others. It's not his will that anybody perish. He wants us to be redeemed unto him. We talked about the whole thing about the Ten Commandments and all the laws in Pastor Thomas today. There's hundreds of laws. You know, we had the Ten Commandments. There were hundreds of laws that people couldn't keep up with all of them. It was so much stuff. But God said, you know what? I'm going to simplify this for y'all. Just accept my son. And then when you accept my son, Jesus came. He said, you know, I came. I'm going to fulfill this thing. I'm not going to try to have you follow all of, or get caught up in trying to remember and to do all these calls and these commandments. I want you to put your focus and your attention on me. and me alone, which is love. And if you focus on Jesus, you're going to love God and you're going to love your neighbor, right? So with the embodiment of that, you put all your attention on Jesus Christ. Everything that you are and everything that you could ever be, you credit to him, you give to him. Your purpose of living is for him and through him. You're guided and directed by the Holy Spirit to do what you do. Now you're following, you're walking in the calling and the commission that God has placed on your life. Now I am a doer, not just a hearer. Now I am a follower and I am not a leader. I am following my shepherd, who is Jesus Christ, in everything that I do and everything that I say. That's the cornerstone of everything that we are as believers, church. And because we walk humbly in that knowledge, or humbly in that wisdom of God's word, we understand that it all begins and ends with our Lord and Savior, as it is and as it was in the beginning, in Genesis to Revelations. He's the Alpha and the Omega. Amen. Jeremiah 29:11, I'm going to just refer to that real quickly. King James Version says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give, not to take away, but to give you an expected end." Amen. Again, the enemy wants to take, God wants to give. Amen. The NIV says it this way: "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." So instead of poverty, God has plans to prosper you. Instead of despair, God has plans to give you hope. Instead of being trapped in your past sins, God has plans to give you a glorious future. Amen. God is all about giving. That's why he says there's no condemnation in Christ. "I'm trying to redeem you unto me," is what God is saying. I don't want you to feel condemned and unworthy. I want you to have hope for a future through my son, through the cleansing of your sins, to be given a new direction in life, to understand, now I understand the expected end. Now I understand the direction that you have for me in my life. Because I've accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, now I can live that prosperous life. I can live with hope. I can live with a purpose. Understanding that not my will, but your will be in everything. Now let's go down to 2 Peter, and this, like I said, this is the meat of our message today. 2 Peter in the first chapter, and verse 12 and 13, I read it from the NIV. It says, So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body. Understanding that Peter is trying to remind us of our calling and our purpose. I love the way, I don't know if you, in your NIV Bibles, if you have at the onset of verse 3 through 11, there's a caption titled "Confirming One's Calling and Election." Confirming one's calling and election. So how do we confirm that calling and election that God has placed on our lives? I'm going to read verses 3 through 11 in the NIV, 2 Peter, first chapter. And it begins there in verse 3 by saying, "His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. His divine power has given you everything that you need for a godly life. Now, y'all talked about a worldly life. You know, I'm not talking about the things that, of this world that are going to pass away. Why would I want a worldly life? Why would I want worldly possessions? Those things are not going to last or be eternal. We got messages throughout his word about seek things that have eternal value to them. Worldly possessions, all that stuff is going to pass away. So let me start living a more purpose-filled life and start following and doing what God has called me to do. He's already said through his divine power, he's given me everything I need for a godly life. And it goes on to say, so through our knowledge of him, who called us by his own glory and goodness, verse 4, through these he has given us his very great and precious promises. And I love the promises of God's word because we know that they are yes and amen, and they all stand true. Amen. So he's given us these great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, that's God's nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Those evil desires are rooted and grounded in worldly possessions and worldly gratification, fleshly gratification. Amen. So, okay, God, I see you give me everything I need to live a godly life. You have all this, and I have that a godly life through the knowledge of your son, Jesus. You've promised me these great, precious promises through your word so that I can participate in this divine journey that I'm on, not a worldly or carnal journey, but a very divine and spiritual journey. And what do I need quality wise for that godly life? And now I'm going to go through these 8 things. I want you to highlight and circle, underline, do whatever you need to do. But so he says, for this very reason, make every effort, not a little, not some, but everything that you can, everything that you have in you through Jesus Christ, make every effort to add to your faith. That's your belief. You've accepted Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. We know that that definition of faith is belief, and not just belief, but acting on that belief. Amen. So I'm going to add to my faith goodness. That means, okay, now that you believe in Jesus, get out there and do some good in the world. Now that you have godly principles, you have the law and the scriptures and everything that he's laid out in his word, now start doing good. Add to your belief some goodness. Let me see something behind that. Well, God, how do I do good? I don't know. Ain't no good but you. How do I do good? Okay, add to your goodness knowledge then. Get to Bible study. Get to church and learn something. So you'll know the difference between you doing good and me doing good through you. Amen. So that God be praised, not you, but that God be praised. That's the difference between doing good and doing good through God. Amen. God will get the glory if you're doing God good through God. Amen. You'll get the glory if you're doing good for yourself. So that you can be recognized and you can be, you know, they talk about the Pharisees. They got their reward by being seen by all their long and extended prayers, and they want to be seen. They want to be, oh, look at what he did. Look what they, okay, they want to be exalted. They got it. That's all they got out of it. So you get that knowledge from the word. Okay, now that you know the word, practice some self-control. So I said, add to that knowledge some self-control so that you don't just go out and do what you want to do or say what you want to say. You're yielding to God's will and God's direction in everything that you do. It's not about you. It's not best. It's about what God is calling you to do. And you start doing all those things, you're like, oh, man, I don't know how much longer I can go on, Lord. I've been on this journey a long time. Okay, add to that some perseverance. You got to endure on this journey. It's a walk. It's a journey. It's a challenge. But you're going to have to persevere. And say, well, God, how do I persevere? Well, you need some godliness about you. That means you need a lot of me. Amen. God is saying godliness is at the cornerstone of everything godly, is just being righteous and being holy. That's the only way you're going to persevere. That's the only way you're going to get endure. And having that righteousness and that holiness is going to cause you to have mutual affection. That means you're going to have compassion. You're going to have some empathy about yourself. You're going to care. You're going to have some concern for your brothers and sisters. It's not just about you. But God, how do I love my brother and my sister who I see and don't love you? Well, that means you got to have love then, right? So you add to that mutual affection, but you better make sure that you add love. And yes, that means that's just saying Jesus has to be at the center of all of it. We began with faith, believing. We'll end these 8 qualities with love by acting on that belief. Amen. So we have faith. We have goodness. You say, add to your goodness, knowledge. Add to your knowledge, self-control. To self-control, add perseverance. Perseverance, add godliness. From godliness, add mutual affection. In that 8th quality, add love. Amen. And verse 8 brings it all home, church. For if you possess these qualities, these 8 qualities are just named. If you do, you can put that in caps. But if you do, let me give you another call in the commission. Possess these qualities in increasing measure. So why does God put that distinction in there? Not just to have them, but so you need to be getting these in increasing measure. Why is it not just enough to just be good? You know, you got to be trying to do more good every day. Why isn't it good just to have knowledge? You got to always be seeking after knowledge. You can never learn or know enough. I don't know if anybody on this call or in the church that can quote Genesis to Revelation straight out without looking at anything. So you can always add to it. You always need to build on that. You're always going to need more self-control. You're always going to have to be able to endure and persevere even more. You're always going to need more godliness. You're always going to need more mutual affection. You always want to increase your love walk. Amen? So he says, if you possess these 8 qualities in increasing measure, not just in a measure, but increasing it, you seek to grow, mature. Back to our Sunday school lesson, I'm trying to get more mature in this whole walk. If I possess these qualities in increasing measure, what's that going to do for me, God? Okay, he says, then it will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So what is God saying here? Now that you have these things, increasing these things, and they will help you. Let's take off the in and the un. It will help you be effective and productive. Amen. So, and but 9 gives the caveat, but whoever does not have them, bring it home, God. Whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. So who is he talking to? Is he talking to the world or is he talking to the church in this? Forgetting that they have been cleansed. So these are some church folks, people. Right? And he's calling church folks nearsighted and blind if they are not focusing on increasing in these qualities and these areas of their life in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And what's so critical is that verse 8 of being effective and being productive. God has given us this life to live more abundantly so that we can have a purpose, so that we can have a calling. You're not just here to take up space. You are here to do God's will. And you say, well, what is God's will? His will is for you to be effective and productive in what he's called you to do. Amen? Not in what you think you need to do, but what he's called you to do. You say, well, God, what have you called me to do? I've called you to add to your faith goodness, into goodness, knowledge, into knowledge, self-control, into self-control, perseverance, into perseverance, godliness, into godliness, mutual affection, into mutual affection, love. Verse 10, therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. Make every effort. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, church, I'm getting ready to close. When it says to make every effort to confirm your calling, and that's just doing those eight qualities, just keep working on increasing and measuring all those eight qualities, keep working on that. They're going to help you be effective. They're going to help you be productive. You'll feel like you have a purpose and a calling in life. If you just keep focusing on increasing these things, increasing and measure those eight qualities. And it was interesting. I've read this back and forth and sideways. Church, he said, okay, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. Because so many times as believers, we've thought that we've stumbled. But just like the enemy thought he'd won when Jesus was up on that cross, he thought he had won. But it was all set up by God to help you show you the way that you're going. So when he talks about stumbling, he's talking about it in the spiritual sense of things. We think we stumble when we slip up and fall. God is saying, I'm trying to direct you. I'm trying to bring you to an expected end. And as long as you are focused on going that direction, he says, you will never stumble. You always are moving forward. You're always adding to. Just like he's an addiction God. He's always trying to add to. So, verse 11, you will receive a rich welcome in the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So take on these eight qualities, church. Faith, that's belief. Trust and action, believing and trusting God and acting upon that belief and trust. That's mind, heart, and body. Goodness, be kind, compassionate, gracious, respectful, and nice. Knowledge is about intelligence. Be educated, embrace learning. And we were talking about what? Learning what? Learning the Word of God. That's how you get to that wisdom. It's not just, and I think Brother Rakim read the definition of wisdom is applying really godly knowledge. So what you learn is the application of God's word. It's one thing to know what to do, is another thing to know how to do what you do. Amen. So it's the application of that. Self-control. We have to work on containing our tempers, our reactions, our rash judgments. We talked about judgment there earlier. Our fleshly impulses. Self-control is only gained through yielding to God's way and his will. Amen. Perseverance. Another critical quality, perseverance, means you need to be patient, you need to endure, you need to keep standing, you need to keep working, keep going toward what God. It made me bring to remembrance the scripture about keep knocking, keep seeking. You got to keep on keeping on, amen? That's that perseverance. Godliness, be righteous and be holy. Mutual affection, have brotherly kindness for one another, amen? And then love God and love one another, amen? For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Father God, thank you for your word today. Thank you, Father God, for the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father God, for your continued love and grace and mercy upon us. We thank you, Father God, for giving us the wisdom and the discernment to apply your word to everything that we do and say. We thank you, Father God, for the mercy that you bestow upon us each and every day, the comfort you give us through the Holy Spirit, the guidance and the direction that you give us, Father God. None of us and all of you and everything, Father God. Your will, not our will, in all things. And give you praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Amen.